This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Welcome along to William Hill's Golf Podcast. My name's Lee Phelps, standing in for Dave Connor this week. It's my annual turn I get to go on the Golf Podcast. Delighted to say that Mike Grenham's with me to look ahead to this week's two tournaments and look back at a very successful US PGA podcast for the team, Mike. It's just you and I this week.
I know. Just no Davids.
I know, yeah, so we'll just stick with Mike and Lee.
Yeah, well, Dave Tindall is actually cruising around the Caribbean at the moment after his USPGA.
Yes. He had the winner from
three picks. He had the winner, Jason Day, third and fifth, Brooks Koepka and Brendan Grace. And, you know, it's not bad, is it?
It's not bad going, no. I thought maybe he's either enjoying his winnings or just bathing in the adulation that he received on Twitter from everyone.
Trying to be a bit enigmatic and not appearing until people demand his return, maybe.
Maybe it'll come after this.
I don't know where he is, but he's off, isn't he, for a few days. He's on holiday. So, but what a great performance by Dave Tindall there. He really nailed that tournament totally. So we have to doff our caps to him, really.
And you're being very modest, because it wasn't a bad start to the tournament with that first round leader pick either, to be fair. Oh,
I'm glad you mentioned that, Lee.
Dave Keller left me one note. Mention the first
leader, because he never did after picked the first round leader in the Open, Bertie Foosen. So yes, it started well, albeit just a share of a place, about 5th, 6th, or 7th of a place for JB Holmes at 80-1, who looked like he was going to lead the first round on his own for quite a long way until the last couple of holes. So that paid for the week for me, at any rate. That was lovely. So, nice to get that one in. And to be fair to Dave Kellner, both he and myself had a real good run with our outsider, Russell Henley, at 150s, who was on the final night, even was well in with a chance of a place, just missed out a couple of late drop shots, just knocked him out of, I think he might not even have finished in the top 10 in the end, but he was really close for those who were on him. So all in all, absolutely headed by Dave Tindall's great performance there, we had a good week. So I have to say, I found the tournament a bit dull.
Well, I was going to ask you about this, Matt, because it didn't really seem to catch the imagination until the amazing finish, and it's almost like the aftermath of the tournament was better than the tournament, in a sense, to someone who's not a golfing expert like me, who watches it from afar. And you know, you look at the headlines in the BBC, from drunk 12-year-old to USPGA champion, and Jason Day saying it was a blubbering mess on the 18th. It was a fantastic story, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a great player. It's no disrespect to Jason Day, who was absolutely fantastic in the tournament, and the cream did rise to the top because Spieth was right up there. But I just don't like to see majors won with 20 under. It was a bit of a birdie fest.
Yeah.
This week, the Wyndham Championship in America is a bit of a birdie fest. And they probably won't get to 20 under. So that's just not my preference for majors. I like to see really tough tests for majors where under par is a good score. Here, a couple under wasn't enough at Whistling Straits. So it's not a course I warm to, I have to be honest. But you have to say, great play by the winner, Jason Day, who thoroughly deserved to win a major, got over the line finally. Dave picked him, obviously, so well done to Dave. And Spieth is just amazing. Again, first, third and second, is it, this year, the majors? Just unbelievable player. And the great thing, Lee, albeit, yeah, I didn't like the 20 under, but the great thing is that for golf is that we've got now Spieth, McIlroy, and Day really is potential at that level as well, if he's broken the major duck, as it was, so to speak. So it's very exciting for golf, and there's some other good young players coming through as well. So if only Tiger could come back, we'd have the full house.
Well, we might get on to talking about him at the Wyndham, shall we? But should we start in Europe, first of all? Made in Denmark, we'll concentrate on in Aalborg, where you may need to weather some tricky conditions to be successful. It can be a pretty exposed course. Mark Warren tops the betting at 9-1, 2/4 in the last 5 tournaments and 2 in the last 3 on the European Tour. Leads him to be favourite for this tournament. 14-1 for Søren Kjeldsen, home favourite, but didn't break 70 last year in any of his 4 rounds. Here, Thomas Bjorn, 18-1, another home favourite, tied 4th in this tournament in 2014. Matthew Fitzpatrick's priced at 20-1, second at the European Masters, so has been in decent nick. Christopher Broberg at 22-1 in the betting, tied 6th in Austria not too long ago. Peter Hansen's 30-1, He played really well at the BMW International recently. Hasn't been in unbelievable nick since then, but maybe worth looking at. 33-1 bigger than the rest, Mike. You're having one pick in this tournament, so you're laying it all on the line on one player. Who are you going for?
Well, I'm going for the guy you just mentioned, actually, Peter Hansen. I'll come back to why in a second. It's only the second year at this course, Lee. They got huge crowds last year in Aalborg in Denmark for this tournament, which is great to see. And I think they might be slightly disappointed that they've not got a better field this time around. It's good. It's certainly not a terrible field, but it's not absolutely stellar either. So that's why I picked Hansen. I think there aren't many players who at their best who are better than him, albeit he's not been at his best for a little while. But yeah, Mark Warren has a very solid chance. 9-under won it last year. That's the kind of score I'd like to see majors won by. But the Made in Denmark tournament, let's hope it thrives, because there was a real enthusiasm for it last year. And I'm hoping that rather than a local boy winning, a guy from over the border in Sweden, Peter Hansen, wins. Yeah, I think you mentioned already there, he played well in the BMW International and the Nordea Masters. Nordea Masters, the last event in Scandinavia that he played. He was 13th in that. 7th in the BMW International. Did miss the cut on his last outing. That may have helped his price actually a little bit. Prior to that, played very well in France until a final round, 76. So this guy has got 6 wins to his name on tour. At his best, repeat, at his best, he's definitely one of the best players, if not the best player in the field behind Bjorn. Now, we know that he hasn't won since 2012, and he's now down to 320 in the world, would you believe,
wow,
Hansen? But I think that's a bit of a stimulus for him. He's got a real incentive to show that he's a far better player than that. And those form figures are very interesting. Out of his last 6 events, 4 in the top 30. 2 missed cuts, mind you, so he wants to avoid that. But Peter Hansen, who really should be suited by this course, it's a nice long way. Greens and regulation are important here. His greens and reg and putting stats have been very interesting in his last few events. Coming hopefully to the boil, he's my pick at 30-1, Lee.
I checked in with our golf trader here at William Hill, Mark Adshead, just to get his thoughts on these two tournaments, and he put up a couple of selections, one in each tournament, and he went for Robert Rock in this one at 50-1, basically based on the fact that it's something you touched upon, it's not the strongest field, and at a big price he thinks he could potentially go well.
I could see that, Lee. I looked at a couple of not outsiders really. David Lipsky at 66-1. That's an outsider price. It's certainly a decent price, isn't it? He was in the top 20 here last year. Played quite well in the European Masters recently, of course he likes, mind you. And Thomas Peters is a guy who wallops it a long way, and also someone who, just have my mind, will hopefully get a win in one of these slightly lesser events. He's certainly got the quality. He's been coming into a bit of form as well. Should be great to watch this week, and great to see big crowds, as I say, and a bit of a buzz about an event like that. But I couldn't go any further than Peter Hansen. He was the one that caught my eye.
Very good. Let's move on to the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's rated as the easiest par 70 on the tour, to professionals, of course. And it's an interesting tournament because there are lots of players with a last chance to make it into the FedEx playoffs. Obviously, they need to do exceptionally well in this tournament first, though. The betting for the men who are leading the market, Brant Snedeker is the 14-1 joint favourite with Brooks Koepka. Snedeker, first of all, highest placed FedEx player in this field. Through May and June, he made 4 successive top 10s. He's been playing pretty well recently as well. Koepka, of course, is just improving major by major this year. Tied 5th at the USPGA, one of Dave T's picks, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's 14-1 as well. Interestingly enough, I think probably DT would probably put him up if he was here. He finished with a 64 last year at Sedgefield as well, so he's got good memories of this course. Hideki Matsuyama, 18-1 next in the betting. 4 top fives this season and been in decent nick. I know a lot of people were looking at him for the USPGA. Justin Thomas at 20-1 went into the USPGA in good nick. Tied 5th at the John Deere and 4th in Virginia. Adam Scott next in the betting at 22-1. Highlight of the season was his tied 4th at the US Open, but missed the cut last week at the USPGA. Brandon Grace is the last one I'll mention in the betting at 22-1. Best performances have been under the brightest lights. 3rd at the USPGA, tied 4th at the US Open. Lots and lots of good players in here, Mike. I'm stopping there at 22-1, but I could carry on. 25s and bigger the rest of them. You've got 3 picks in this tournament, Mike. Which one was the first one?
Hadley, yes. And by chance, I've gone for a common theme of guys who all have got quite a link to North Carolina, where Sedgefield is in fact based. So in one of them, inadvertently almost, I didn't realise he had quite a link to it. In fact, I'll start with him. My first pick is Brendan Todd at 80-1, who was born in Pennsylvania but actually moved to North Carolina at the age of 11. He in a place called Cary, which is about a couple of hours away from Sedgefield. But that was something I wasn't aware of until I'd picked him. So a bit of a North Carolina link there, and there definitely is with my next two picks. This course, Lee, requires a bit of accuracy and decent ball striking. It's not a bomber's course at all. It's one where you've got to hit the greens, try and get it near the hole, make, play the par four as well. It's a little bit more of a plotter's course than an absolute whack it and chase it kind of course. So Brendan Todd, who missed the cut at the PGA and didn't play quite well at Bridgestone either, both courses where you really needed length in my opinion. If you look at his figures before that, he finished 17th at Memorial, missed the cut at Chambers Bay, another course where he needed length. There's a bit of a theme emerging here. And then the three events in between all of that, 15th in the Travellers, 6th in the Greenbrier and 12th in the British Open, or the Open as I should call it. So in really nice form at courses that suit, he's accurate off the tee, top 10 for that, top 10 for stroke gain, putting, hits it near the hole. Got that link to North Carolina, where he lived in all his teenage years. And interestingly enough, finished 26th here last year. Missed the cut in his only ever other outing at the event, but finished 26th in 2013. Sorry, not 2014, 2013. Didn't play last year. The interesting thing about that is that he was going well until around his third round when he shot 75. So that near top 25 could have been a lot better if he'd have held it together for four rounds. If you can do that this time round, Brendan Todd would be a very interesting contender at 80-1. He's a guy who's won on tour last year in the Byron Nelson. So I think this course should really suit him in a part of the world he's ultimately very, very familiar with. And he offers quite a good option there at 80-1. He'd be my headline pick this week, I think.
Nice price each way, of course, available. Quarter of the odds for a place in the top five at the Wyndham. I'm not making any picks this week. People might be thinking, well, DK usually makes picks. I wouldn't want to put my picks onto a knowledgeable golf audience. I think it's important to say that, Mike. I'm not as much of an expert as I am in something like football, of course.
No worries. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't make that excuse when I do the football podcast, but I'm making it here for the golf. First one, then, Brendan Todd at 80-1. What's the second pick, then, Mike, with this North Carolina theme?
The second pick, Lee, is Carl Pettersson, who lives in North Carolina. He's not from there. He's from Sweden. Second Swedish player this week. But he went to college in North Carolina, State University, and has settled there, based locally. He's another winner on tour. Five times he's won, but not since 2012, I think. So, come on, Carl. Time to get another one on the board. Been showing some signs lately of coming back to form recently, headed by a fifth in the Travellers, the aforementioned Travellers Championship, and a 12th in the John Deere Classic. He missed the cut in the Open, St Andrews, but then, very, very interestingly, was tied fourth in the Quicken Loans National about 2-3 weeks ago. I just made the cut at the PGA, didn't pull up any trees, but that wouldn't have been a course that would have suited him as much as some. He does like courses where a low score is preferable, and that suits here. -15 under, 13 under and 12 under in those three events recently that he's played well in for top 10s or thereabouts. So that'll definitely be required here. Pettersson is putting very well, fifth for strokes gained in putting at the Quicken Loans and 11th for the greens in regulation. So that fourth place is built on the very foundations that we want here. And of course, most importantly of all, he won here in 2008. So he's a past winner. A money leader, in fact, I think, even in this event, would you believe? So good to see him available at 50-1. Last 4 years, he's got 2 fourth place finishes and an 18th. Did miss the cut 1 year. So he is capable of flopping here, but most times he runs a very big race. So at 50-1, I think Carl Pettersson should be on your mind this week.
Yeah, holder of the course record as well at Sedgefield, yeah, which is really interesting.
He does like the track.
Well, as I said before, we started talking about Carl Pettersson. I'm not putting any picks, but when you work in the betting industry and you start previewing any kind of tournament, you kind of, and that was the one I looked at and thought, he sounds interesting. Mm. He does sound interesting. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be putting any picks up, like I say, but when I read his the stats and I do like the old the course and distance. You know, I know it's a bit of a racing parlance, but whatever sport I'm betting in, if I get a player who performs well at a certain place or under certain conditions, I do like to follow them.
My third pick's a course specialist as well. And on top of that, he's a big lad like Shane Lowry, who won on the US Tour very recently. So there's got to be a theme there, Lee, hasn't there? Carl's definitely, this is his this will be one of the events at the beginning of the year that he'll mark out. I think I've got a real chance of winning that. I know the course, I play well there, and I'm suited by it. And I think the same would apply to my third pick, an old favourite of the podcasting, Bill Haas, who I haven't picked quite as much this year. He's becoming a bit of an enigma, Bill. He plays very well at the same courses and looks like he's a player who has major potential and often makes Ryder Cup or President's Cup teams, but never plays well in the majors. It really has an abysmal record in the highest level. But at PGA Tour level, he's won six times. He was born in North Carolina has played well and was indeed second here last year and seventh the year, the 20th the year before and seventh the year before that. Real horses for courses man on this track. So I like his chance here. Bill Haas always wins in low scoring events. His wins include scores that were as low as 30 under and 22 under, 15 under and 12 under out of his six wins. You can see that, you know, he likes birdie tracks for his wins and ones that he's used, that he plays well on as well. He usually preempts his wins with good form at the course. The President's Cup will be a real focus for him, by the way, this year, because his dad's Jay is the captain, and Bill will be desperate to get on the President's Cup this team time. So I'm hoping that he can bounce back to form. He was he played very well in the Quicken Loans National as well, fourth, 25th in the Bridgestone, which was a really good finish for him, but pretty dismal 65th in the PGA, which he's better than that. So I'm hoping he can get his second win of the year. Won the Humana with a 22 under this year, 22 under, get it done here as well for Bill Haas.
Very good. Bill Haas at 28-1, Carl Pettersson at 50-1, and Brendan Todd at 80-1. Three nice prices there, Mike.
They are nice prices, Lee, yes. Of the market leaders, Snedeker is really strong, I think, but maybe a bit short at 14s. I backed Matsuyama last week, and he played very well, but until a treble bogey, I think, in the final round, or was it the third round, knocked him off course, and then he was out of a chance of a place. He might need a tougher event, but he was on my mind. But yeah, those guys are decent prices, and they're good players, so it'll be fascinating to see how they play. I also looked at a couple of even bigger prices, Lee. Matt Every was playing ever so well earlier this year. He's 150-1. He could outperform that, you know. He's a winner. John Hurt plays well here at 150s. Maybe David Toms is in good form again at 100s. Russell Knox at 80s. But I think I'm happy with the ones that I've picked. The one that of the a bigger price that was probably closest was Harris English, who just gave me some hints that he might be coming back to a bit of form in the PGA. But I'm happy enough with those. I know a lot of people will pick Webb Simpson this week. He's a local boy, but I'm not sure his form's quite there yet.
The three picks then, just to reiterate: Brendan Todd 80-1, Carl Pettersson 50-1, Bill Haas at 28-1 for the Wyndham Championship and the Maiden Denmark tournament, where once again we're expecting some really big crowds. Peter Hansen is Mike Grenham's pick at 30-1 there. You can follow Mike on Twitter at mgrenham. It's at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner for the rest of the guys' Twitter handles. And
Are they all back next week?
Oh, I hope so, yeah. I mean, I'm happy to stand in again, but I'm not sure the audience will stand for the lack of tips from
solo.
Dave Kellner.
We go not solo, but just the two of us. It's usually packed in here with three of us, so in this little studio, this little host.
It's nice and cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's not too many men in here. Exactly.
We should mention, Lee, that the FedEx players are almost upon us. So whilst the golf season used to kind of end with the PGA to some degree, there's still a lot of action to go on that massive check for the FedEx playoff prize. $10 million would be a nice one for someone.
I was interested to see, and I know he kind of almost gets a mention every time anyone talks about golf these days, but Tiger Woods sticking a tee in the ground for the first time at the Wyndham just to see if he can get into the playoffs. He needs to win the tournament to even stand a chance of it. And he missed 5 of 10 cuts this season? It's not going to happen, is it?
It's not looking like he's going to win it, Lee, I have to be honest. But I'm glad he's playing more, because the only way he is going to get back to anywhere near his best is to get out on the course more and build up his game. And that tournament pressure of scrambling, putting, game management, that's how he's got to do it. So it's looking more and more unlikely that he'll reach the, anywhere near the heights that he had previously. But it's not impossible that he could come back and win tournaments again and feature again. If it's easy to write him off, and it isn't looking great, but I'm glad he's playing more. It's great for the game that he's even here at Sedgefield. That'll guarantee crowds. Yeah. He just transcends the sport to some degree, doesn't he? He's still the most well-known golfer above the likes of Spieth and McIlroy. So if he could join the fray and make it, it really would be the full house, as I said earlier.
Yeah, it would. And it's still the wider media. That's all they want to talk about still, isn't it? Whoever wins these tournaments. Mm. You can listen to InPlay Radio. We'll have coverage of the final round of the tournaments as well on Sunday night, where Dave Tindall will be back in the studio giving his thoughts on the best InPlay bets. As I said,
big cigar.
Yeah, he's not had to smoke in the studio, but as long as he doesn't light it.
I'm not saying he's lit, he'll just have a big cigar.
Follow the guys on Twitter as well, as I said, because you get some great chat between them on a Sunday and Saturday as the tournaments really wind up. As I said, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at D Kellner. Thanks very much, Mike. Very enjoyable.
Thank you for stepping into the fray and meaning that I didn't have to talk to myself.
Yeah, I liked like a monologue. Just Mike. That'd have been great. Mike on Mike.
Not so great for the listener.
Mike on Mike. It worked. Thanks very much to Mike Grenham. Thank you for listening as well. You can get this podcast at williamhill.com, of course. Also available at Audio Boom and on iTunes. If you're having a bet on either the Wyndham or the Made in Denmark tournaments, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.